Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
They score! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt connected! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Welcome into the Sports Flood. We are hot. And I can turn that down because I got to be a professional. Welcome into the Sports Flood, everybody. Arky Shea here at Madison RV, the most loveliest place to be today, because you are going to have your pick of the litter of great RVs, because we are at the Madison RV Super Center for the annual RV show and sale. That's right. Today is the last day of it. And they got interest rates that are way down and discounts that are way, way up. Coming out and say hello to us. I'll be joined by a lot of great guests throughout the show today. Cole Kublik is allegedly going to be here at some point and say hello. We'll see if that transpires. Dale Jackson, who skipped out on Cole's show on Thursday, wants to show up and say words. We'll talk to him as well. But I got a great show lined up for you. There are too many things to talk about. Kyrie Irving thinks that the world is flat. I don't feel comfortable with that at all. I don't feel comfortable with what Duke is doing. I don't feel comfortable with what he was taught in middle school. Also, we could talk about Trent Richardson. He has unfortunately been arrested, and that is bad news for just about everybody. Well, mainly him. Actually, mainly him. It's time, John Solomon writes, to start kicking refs out of games. I like this idea. I like this idea. Oh, no, he wants coaches, too. I don't want coaches. I don't want refs out. Okay, so we'll talk about that as well. And a Louisiana head coach loses his job because Nick Saban says so. Or at least that's how I'm reading it. I want to thank you so much for listening into the show. We always have a great one here for you on the program. You can come in and have a good time today. I'm here till 11, but the Cumulus family is going to be here for the entire day for this great sale event. You can text into the show. How we're going to take your commentary today, 910-663-5663. And you can tweet into the show at the Sports Flood at Arky Shea. Now, we'll be able to talk much to him, but I do want to just say thank you to Antonio McBeath for touching the buttons over at the studio today. He is hopefully going to be doing a great job and will stay fully employed with the ump. In the meantime, let's start it off with the biggest story in Alabama today. It's official. Alabama has hired Brian Daboll as their offensive coordinator. Now, if you haven't been following the story, this feels like it's been leaked for an entire week. He is the former tight ends coach with the New England Football Patriots, and he is now joining Nick Saban's staff. He's 41 years old, and you know what this means. He's going to be around for a long time because Brian Daboll is going to get his first chance to call plays in a college system, and he gets to do it at maybe the hardest place in the world to do it, at least with the pressure and the scrutiny. But the good thing is we should know that Brian Daboll has a neat background when it comes to what Alabama fans want. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. What about relationships, huh? Don't they just mean everything? Relationships just mean everything. Because why would Brian Daboll come to Tuscaloosa as a tight ends coach who's never called a play in college football? Oh, that's because the man named Nick Saban was his former coach. And by former coach, I mean his boss. He was a GA under Nick Saban at Michigan State back in the late 90s. And football, just like almost everything, is about relationships. I don't know why Chip Kelly didn't get the job. You're going with the guy who does a much different type of skill system. Now, what's to be excited about Brian Daboll? Well, he did happen to be the offensive coordinator for four count them, four NFL offenses. And that's pretty good, right? Two with Cleveland, one with Miami, and one with Kansas City. In 2009, Cleveland was ranked 32nd in total offense. 2010 under Cleveland, 29th total offense. But he is much better because in 2011 with Miami, 22nd total offense. And in 2012 with Kansas City with Jamal Charles, you darn tootin' it got much better. 24th in total offense. Okay, that's not that much better. In fact, it's actually a little worse. It's a little worse. But that's okay because Bama fans, you're going to get what you've always wanted. What you scream for during the Lane Kiffin era. What you want more than life itself, more than a hug from Nick Saban and a pat on the rear end that says, good job, buddy. He's going to run the ball. He's going to run, day ball. In 2009 with Cleveland, 8th in the league in rushing. He was the worst offense in the league, but still the number 8 rushing team in the NFL. Wow, that's a commitment. 2010, 29th total offense, but 20th in the rushing attack. Not that great, but it gets a little better because in 2011 with Miami, 22nd total offense, 11th rushing in Kansas City. With Jamal Charles, did I mention that? 24th total offense, but 5th. Rushing attack, and I know Jamal Charles is no Bo Scarborough at this point, but give Jamal Charles a chance. Alabama fans finally get what they want, and everybody can be happy. They can calm down. They can get the joy coming from their veins. It's time to run the ball again. It's time. No more jet sweeps. They're over. You can't get more jet sweeps. No. This is straight up and down, run the ball down your throat like Alabama fans have always wanted, right? You got your guy. You got him. I'm so proud of you. You got the guy that you wanted. You ran Lane Kiffin out of town because you didn't like his jet sweeps, and now you get a guy who won't even sniff at a jet sweep. A guy who could not care less about receivers and quarterbacks. He's just going to give it to Bo and Najee. And Damian, everybody's going to get the ball but the receivers in the running game. And that's the best part about all of this. The best part is that I'll never have to see another tweet that says run de ball. Well, I will until he starts running de ball week one against Florida State. But let me ask you this. What if it's too good to be true? You know, what if running de ball isn't the best thing in the world to do 51 times a game, every game? What if, go with me on this for a minute. What if Daboll wants to, balance the attack a little? Like what if he wanted to use, let's say, his freshman offensive player of the year and SEC offensive player of the year, Jalen Hurd. What if he would want to use him in the running game too? What if he wanted to throw the ball down the field as well? What if he wanted to do everything that Lane Kiffin wanted to do and did except for the jet sweeps? Think about it. Just listen. This is just a theory. I'm sure he's going to run it 70, 75 times a game with all of his complement of tailbacks, all 5 of them. But what if? Let's just say, what if the game plan is so similar to what Lane Kiffin did, and he just took out one play? He just took out the jet sweep. Or heaven forbid, and clutch your pearls when I say this, what if he keeps in the jet sweep? No. What if he did that? What if he actually ran a very similar offense to what Lane Kiffin was doing and allegedly Steve Sarkisian would have been doing? Would that be just as good? Would you be just as happy? I don't know. It's in his name. The ball needs to be the run. Run the ball. But in all fairness and seriousness, I do think what we're going to see is a lot more concerted effort for the run. Why else would I put out those stats? Unless I believe that in 4 years, it's not a trend. And you could say, listen, his best years, yeah, Peyton Hill has had a great year, and Jamal Charles. Yeah, okay, Bo Scarborough's pretty good. Why wouldn't you focus on that guy? Didn't really have the best and most mobile of quarterbacks. No, I get it. Jalen Hurts is. This offense is set up to be dynamic almost every single year. And as long as I don't have to hear everyone screaming that they want Tua Tagovailoa, what's going to be great is that we will see a more concerted effort and dedicated effort to running the ball. And you know the thing is, you know when you want to see it? You want to see it early in the game. That's let's be fair, that's what you want to see. You want to see first and 10, first possession, hand the ball to Bo, and Bo go up the middle. If that happens game one against Florida State, you will fall in love no matter how long this train ride goes with Brian Daboll. And I had never heard of Brian Daboll before this. I'm looking around here in the RV. We got people here. You guys ever heard of Brian Daboll?
No.
No, that's right. No one had ever heard of Brian Daboll. Anybody ever looked up Brian Daboll before 2 days ago?
No.
No, you're right. No one ever looked up Brian Daboll before this. Anyone here thought that Nick Saban would go with the name we actually knew?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. We did. We all thought he was going to go with the name that was beautiful to listen to. It was sexy to think about, and it was going to be chic. It was going to be, Nick Saban did a coup again. Some of you guys actually said Lane Kiffin would come back. Some of you guys said Chip Kelly would be a slam dunk. But no, we went with the unheralded 41-year-old tight end coach for the New England Patriots. And I don't know how much tight end coaching you need when you have Martellus Bennett, Rob Gronkowski, and, I guess it was just past his time, a murdering guy from Florida. I don't want to talk about him anymore. So is this a wait and see? No, it's not. We know what he's going to do. He's going to make you happy. And the only bad part about this entire hire is that I did not copyright Run the Ball before some other comedian in this state tried to take it. That's the only bad part about this entire thing. And you know what? That's on me. But Brian Daboll, now officially the new offensive coordinator for your University of Alabama. Speaking of your University of Alabama, they'll be taking on LSU today in basketball. Be shooting Daboll there in Tuscaloosa. At 1:30, cover starts at 12:30 here on the Ump. So once you be tuned in and listening. We had a good weekend of sports happening. Tomorrow we have a little NHL action, Caps at Rangers, for you to check it out. But come on out to Madison RV. We are here until 11 o'clock for the Sports Flood. I'll see if I can find Cole Kublik in a minute. Now it's the perfect time to check out and get your new RV. This is the largest selection of the latest models in the area, and there's no need, not a single need, to go anywhere else but the Madison RV Supercenter right now for the annual RV show and sale. Free parking, free admission, free food. It's free here at Madison RV, and it's the only place to get your new RV at the annual RV show and sale. This is the right time to buy. Don't miss it. This is the last day of the event. Coming up, speaking of Alabama, there was a high school coach in Louisiana that came out against Nick Saban in Alabama, and, well, he's no longer a high school coach in Louisiana. We'll bring that up for you next here on the Sports Flood. Welcome back. Not nearly the same song is playing right now. No Satisfaction. I can take care of that for you. Madison RV. Come on out to the Madison RV Supercenter. It's the annual RV show and sale. Want to get satisfied? Get you an RV, a fifth wheel, a travel trailer. There is something for everyone here. And I know it's a little rainy outside, but don't worry about that. the super beautiful showroom is inside. Indoors, my man. Walk in, have a good time, get some free food, some free drinks, walk around as long as you want. You can find something for you. Interest rates are way down. Discounts way up. You know what that means? We can get you into a Madison RV today. We are just off of I-565, I should say. We are just next to the airport. It's really hard to miss this. What is this, old? Is this old 72 West Cole Kublik? Cole Kublik joining us now. You know him from the STC Network and the Cole Kublik Show, weekday 6-10. Is this old, old 72 West?
Yeah, sure.
It's not 53. I keep wanting to say 53 or Highway. Maybe it's Highway 20. Anyway, we're next to the airport. If you don't know next to the airport, just put it in your Google machine and put it into your Google Apps, your Google Maps app, coming out and hanging out with us today. We are in a beautiful call, a beautiful redwood here in at Madison RV, broadcasting live from the show. And before we get to your thoughts on officially the Brian DeBole hire, this thing is magnificent. I mean, I walked the entire thing this morning earlier. The bedroom is like a real bedroom that I grew up in and that I get to live in. It's really nice. The bathroom is nicer than the one at my house, which I shouldn't say that on air. The living area that you're sitting in right now and the recliners is gorgeous. Got a couple TVs, stainless steel appliances here. Cole, this is almost too nice. This should be my house.
Oh, it's amazing. These things are beautiful. I've told you this before on the air. You don't realize how nice these things are until you come sit in one. And you see the appliances, microwave, refrigerator, sink. I mean, sub-zero refrigerators in here. You got ceiling fan, fireplaces going right now. I'm sitting here in a recliner, theater seating recliner, watching a flat screen TV with the fire going in an RV out of Madison RV Supercenter. That's tough to beat.
It is. I don't know if I could have imagined a better start to my Saturday, to be honest with you. This is a real. I don't know what else I was going to do. Just go to the studio. Can I just do this every week? Will you come with me every week to Madison RV and do a show here?
No.
But this week you'll finish the show?
I'll be here.
All right. Good. Cole, I want to ask you about obviously the news we were just talking about on the show a moment ago. Brian DeBole. DeBole, the new offensive coordinator for the University of Alabama. Now, I gave you my thoughts, and we sort of talked about this a little bit on the Cube show earlier this week when it looked like the hire was going to be imminent. It's just finally confirmed last night by Matt Zinnitz and Chris Lowe and others. You didn't seem, when we were talking about it, very, very positive, very upbeat, very excited by a hire like this. Have your thoughts changed?
Not really, no. I spoke to a couple guys in the league that I trust, and they pretty much shared with me that they think that this is just a Bill Belichick vote of confidence, and that's the reason that this is happening. And Saban maybe wants to go a little bit more pro-style. It's going to be a very simple system. It's going to be one that is not overly complicated. I talked to a guy that played in this system and said it's definitely not spread-based, but it's not very complicated, which is – obviously good for college football players if you have youngsters coming in that are looking to do something different. So I think when you talk about this hire, I don't know if many people are going to buy into the fact that they think this is a home run hire, this is going to win any press conferences, but there are some things about it that I like. I mean, you got a guy who's experienced with tight ends. He's got some good young tight ends that he can use. If it's not a very complicated system, that's good for two young quarterbacks. And if Nick Saban wants to get away a little bit from up-tempo, spread-style offenses, then I think this hire somewhat makes sense. But I think there's a big trust factor that's going into this hire in Nick Saban speaking to Bill Belichick about the confidence they have in DeBole and what he's going to be able to do moving forward.
Do you think that there is any type of
– does it bother you that much not to face me when we're doing an interview?
Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard.
Why?
To go back to you.
Listen, I didn't want to get off this recliner to go do an interview with you.
I'm a Justin, brother.
I am laid back. I could do the show, now that I think about it, I could do our show here every morning. If Rob would build us a studio in an RV, I would come here to do it.
Where you saw Rod a few minutes ago, right?
Well, I'll talk to him about it.
We'll discuss him about this. Do you think there is any type of apprehension with Nick Saban hiring another guy that's like Lane Kiffin as far as his style? Or do you think this is oriented different. Like, this isn't about the style of offense. This is more about maybe changing the kind of person who was running it.
I think that there will be a philosophical change. It might not be a complete change. I don't expect them to go back to what they were doing under Jim McElwain, but I do believe that there will be a philosophical change with this hire. It's just you don't bring in a guy that hasn't really been spread-based in his principles and think that you're going to do the same things that Sark and Kiffin were doing. So I don't know if that means that maybe pace and tempo will stay and that'll continue to be a part of what they're going to do, but the way that team was managed, I don't see it being the same moving forward.
So what do you think? Let's pretend you're Nick Saban, which you like to do a lot. Let's pretend you're Nick Saban. What do you think was the number one priority during this search? What do you think when you're interviewing candidates, what do you think the first thing he was looking for when he was replacing Sarkisian when he left for the Falcons?
What I thought initially or what I think now? After I know the hire.
If it's different.
I thought initially it would be someone who wanted to stay up-tempo, spread-based because of what I told you about how he wanted his team to be able to go against that every day. I mean, he brought that change in-house because of what he believed. Now, maybe that national championship game showed him that he needs someone who can eat more clock and needs an offense that can sort of be more ground and pound and can grind opponents down and limit their possessions, sort of going back to the way things were before. I don't believe that that's 100% the case, but I do believe that a philosophical change will take place. I just don't know exactly where that will be. Seeing that, you know, before I thought it was going to be someone with a lot of QB credibility because they're going to be so young at that position, they're dynamic at that position. So somebody who they feel confident can realistically come in, help develop quarterbacks, help groom quarterbacks, and maybe help them sort of push through and better their game and better that position. And I'm not going to say that DeBall can't do that. It's just he doesn't have a ton of experience doing that.
I think that's the thing that was the weirdest about all of this is that I think all of us, including people we had on our program who we interviewed about it, like Aaron Suttles and company, we all seem to think they wanted somebody to develop a quarterback. And not that Brian Daboll can't do this, but it seemed like that wasn't the number one priority. And I wonder if that is such a – are we overvaluing someone, the need for someone to develop a quarterback? Are we overvaluing the fact that Nick Saban would want somebody that – you know, you can't just continue to have a decent offensive coordinator, teach them reps, teach them routes you need?
Well, I've told you this before. My opinion on developing quarterbacks is much more based on the mental aspect of the game. I don't think that you look at these QB specialists that guys are going to work with. I mean, you can teach somebody how to throw the ball in the sand or take a pass set in the ocean and, you know, keeping your hips square, doing this and do that. And we went through all the examples on Cube Show this week of Aaron Rodgers and how many different arm angles he uses in a game. You take a look at a guy like Dan Marino and how he released the football. Look at Phillip Rivers. I mean, are his mechanics sound? No, but he's been one of the most productive quarterbacks in the NFL in the last decade. So I think mechanically you make some minor adjustments, but the major adjustments come from the mental aspect of the game. If you can help develop a young man mentally, how he sees the game, how he sees defenses, when and how he changes plays, what he sees maybe two, three plays ahead, two, three series ahead, the next game ahead, which then allows you the luxury to coach them less and let them do more on the field, which is where truly I think you win games. So I thought that would be a big part of this. And Nick Saban's proven that guy can be successful. I mean, I don't – A.J. McCarron, there's a lot of reasons that some people don't like him, but he was a very cerebral quarterback. And if you go back and hear him do interviews talking about his time at Alabama, he'll tell you about changing things at the line of scrimmage and sort of going back and forth with Saban in practice. He did a lot at the line of scrimmage. McElroy obviously did a lot at the line of scrimmage. Some of the other quarterbacks that they've had. I mean, Blake Sims was a dynamic quarterback. I mean, he hurt you in different ways, but he also had Amari Cooper. You know, I don't really believe that Jay Coker was a dynamic quarterback, but look at some of the weapons that he had around him. I mean, he had Calvin Ridley. He had a Heisman Trophy winning running back, so had a really good offensive line. That obviously made a big difference. So depending on who that trigger man is and what their demeanor is, if you can up their mental game, then I think that allows you to get away with a lot less.
With Cole Kubrick of the SEC Network Cube Show. Weekday 6 to 10 on the Ump in Huntsville.
Central, 6 to 10 Central.
Central in Huntsville, Alabama. You can hear, by the way, that's a radio station you can hear in the Rocket City, Huntsville, Alabama. That's one that, I think, hold on, looking at the signal. Yeah, it does go there. It does go there. A lot of people tweeting about it. Cole, I know you don't like doing this, so that's why I'm going to ask you to do it. It's February the 18th. Grade the hire.
B. Now, he still has legitimate NFL play-calling experience. There's value in that. He's been around Belichick, so he probably has an idea of what to expect of how the program's going to be run. And even though he coached tight ends, he's been around Brady, seen how Brady's operated. That will help in recruiting, where I think he might be sort of a weakness to this staff. How do we know how he's going to recruit? He hadn't done it. He might end up being a great recruiter, but right now we can't say he is a really good recruiter or he is a great recruiter because he hasn't done it.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad because I've never heard anybody called a bad recruiter. I've never even called somebody just a decent recruiter. At least we got the unknown.
We don't know what kind of a recruiter he's going to be.
Feels good to be able to hear that.
You're welcome.
I'll get you out of here in the last question. How weird is it that he took this job as a tight end, former tight ends coach, and the best tight end, maybe one of the best in Alabama history, is not going to be coming back?
It is weird. They're solid at that position from a depth perspective. But, you know, I just go back again, Archie, to I truly believe that this is a Bill Belichick relationship hire. And Belichick had the confidence, relayed that to Nick Saban, and that's why this hire was made.
Hey, Cole Kubrick, thanks for the time, man.
Thank you, Arky.
Walk around, check out some more RVs here. We are at Madison RV Supercenter for the most beautiful day of the year. It may not look like it right now outside with the rain, but don't worry, the showroom is inside, so you can check out all the beautiful RVs here for the annual RV show and sale. Ending today, interest rates are down, discounts are up. Come on out. Free admission, free parking. Cole, how much is food here? Drinks are, it's all free except for the RVs. But you can get great discounts on the RVs where it's your only place to get your new RV at the annual RV show and sale right now. This is the best time to buy. Don't miss this event right now. Come out and say hi to myself and Cole Kubrick as well. We're in the big Redwood RV there, back smack dab in the middle of the service and sales shop. So come say hey to us. We got the door wide open. Dell Jackson's here. We'll talk to him in a few minutes, mostly about the hire of Brian Daboll. We'll get his thoughts on it. And we'll come back. We'll talk to you about this story where there's a Louisiana high school coach who banned Nick Saban from campus, and now he's fired. How interesting that works. Sports Flood. The Sports Flood. We got a party going on here. Cole Kubrick is still hanging out. He has actually gone back to the bedroom. It's just him, so Lord only knows what can happen back there with him. Dell Jackson's here. We'll talk to him in a little bit. We'll talk to Rod of Madison RV, hopefully coming up at the 10 o'clock hour, and have a good time talking about some of these great deals. I want to know what it would cost me to get into this Redwood, because this thing, it really is like a second home. Maybe should become my first home. I want to take you to Parkway High School, which is in Louisiana, for the latest and greatest story in when Nick Saban goes wrong. Because the Parkway High School principal, Waylon Bates, has put his foot down and relieved David Feaster of his duties as the team's head football coach after 6 years. Why is this such a big deal? Well, Feaster was the young man who went on to the old radio locally in Louisiana and said that Nick Saban and Alabama were banned from his campus because of ethical reasons. That's right. Ethical reasons. That's what we're arguing here in football at this point. He basically went back to the recruitment of Brandon Harris, and he was not too kind that Brandon Harris wasn't guaranteed a scholarship forever after he was offered. That once Brandon Harris was ready to visit Alabama after he had been offered a scholarship, which was not the day of, not the week of, not even a month later. It was a little bit later that Brandon Harris wanted to go visit Tuscaloosa. That Nick Saban said, we're looking at a bunch of guys, and we can't guarantee you a spot here. So that's why David Feaster is upset. He banned Nick Saban in Alabama from his campus. And now the principal says, Coach Feaster and I do not share the same philosophy or vision for Parkway High School athletics. This is pretty great. Watch this. The head coach, formerly, Feaster said, quote, most people are going to say Feaster just ran his mouth, but Parkway made it clear to me why they fired me. They can say what they want to about Alabama, but Bates cited me for insubordination. He said, you should have checked with me before you banned Alabama. This is where it gets good. He said, I said that was 4 years ago. You weren't even the principal here. But he said I should not have brought so much negative publicity to the school, and I had to go. Now, could you fire the guy for not being a good football coach? Let's see. He's 59-17. Oh, yeah. And the school's all-time leading winner. So maybe not. So the insubordination for something that was not subordinated, that was not told to him, that you need to tell me before you start banning colleges from our campus, fired for insubordination. Wow, that's pretty great. Feaster maintains he has the same feelings toward Alabama head football coach Nick Saban, and has his assistants mishandled the recruiting of other former Parkway players, and of course LSU quarterback Brandon Harris. As I was speaking, I should also say former LSU quarterback Brandon Harris. When he was on the Tim Fletcher show, he said, I will never allow Alabama in our field house ever again. And of course, this came up when he went back onto the radio station in Baton Rouge earlier this week. Wow. Insubordination. Can you even do that? Can you even, not legally, but can you morally go up to a guy and say, you should have told me that you banned Alabama? Why? You weren't here when I did it. You should always tell me when you ban schools before I get here. Day one, you come with the list of schools you banned. That's what you have to do. This is great. This is great. I love Nick Saban's reach goes so far, and I'm going to guess Nick Saban didn't make a call in, but I'm not 100% sure. But the fact that Nick Saban was able to peripherally get a guy fired as the head coach, a successful head coach at a high school in Louisiana, is pretty darn great. And the principal to say insubordination, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Hey, what negative publicity is going to Parkway High School, by the way? Like, again, this is everybody makes fun of the snowflake culture. What negative publicity happened? Did the school stop recruiting at Parkway High School? Did Parkway players not want to go to Alabama? Did we just talk about the high school for a few minutes? Did we talk about their coach for a few minutes and moved on? Negative publicity. Do they lose enrollment? Are they a private school? Are numbers down? This is so lame. This is so lame. One head coach of a high school team actually comes out and says the feelings he actually feels about a coach or a program. He says them out loud. He says them again and reiterates them this year, even though he said them in 2015 and he banned them in 2013. And now he gets fired. That's bogus, man. That's bogus. You either fire him in 2013, you fire him when he finds out in 2015 when he goes on the radio show, which is public. You can hear this. Fire him in 2015, but don't fire him in 2017. Come on. You're letting the dog get in the way with pooping on the carpet two or three times before you start spanking it. That's stupid. That's stupid. Spank from the beginning. That's what I've always said. You spank puppies from the very beginning. That will not get me in trouble, I'm pretty sure. You can tweet it at the show at Arkishay at the Sports Flood, and you can text into the show as well, 910-663-5663. I'm going to take a timeout. We come back. I got a special friend here in studio. That's right, the Rolling Studios here at Madison RV. I have two questions, very important ones for Dale Jackson.
That's right.
The Dale Jackson, who is luxuriating right now in this redwood here at Madison RV. You can come on out. We are right next to the airport. You cannot miss us. We are going to be here all day here with Cumulus. The show is obviously live from here until 11 a.m. All the personalities from all the stations will be here throughout the day today. And today, once they shut it down, this sale, this Super Center annual RV show and sale will be done. Interest rates way down right now. Discounts way up. It's a perfect time to choose your RV. There's something here for everyone. Take a quick timeout. More Sports Flood next. Back into the Sports Flood live from Madison RV, where you've been. We're here with Rod here from Madison RV, and Rod, you've been such a supporter, but not only Cumulus, but the Ump and Nicole Kublik show for I think ever since we've been back on the air.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, and it's so cool because we love saying the family fun starts here, and that's really kind of when you get into this part of the season. It's kind of cool to think that you're starting to plan for your springs, your summers, and then back into the fall. This is a really good time. This is why it's such a great time for the annual Super Sale.
Absolutely. And actually, this sale kicks off our season because we have so many customers that enjoy spring camping. Spring camping is absolutely fabulous because you get the best of the weather. It's less buggy. You've got a lot of – I mean, there's just so many nice things about it. The water's high. You know, it's just it's a good time to go camping.
Now, I was stunned, and I feel like I always am every time I come into a new one of these RVs. But when I walked into this redwood this morning, I thought, I don't even know why I have a house. Like this is almost much nicer than my house.
Well, I've got an eviction team coming in to get Dale Jackson out.
Okay,
he's pretty much lived here. I think he's got squatter's rights at this point. But he's really enjoyed the stay. These campers are. If you think this is roughing it, I'm telling you, the only thing that's missing is room service.
It really is.
And if you got somebody in the house that's a good cook, then you got it made. Because when you're camping, the food tastes better, the wine tastes better. I mean, it's just a great experience. And then you get to know the people next to you. When you go in a hotel, how many times do you get to meet the people next door?
Never.
You don't even look at them in the elevator. Right. But when you're at a campground, you get to meet folks, and you all have something in common. It's just a great experience. And go out and get some fresh air.
Yeah, why not get some fresh air and come on out? I know it's a little rainy and cool today, but you got the showroom, which is inside, so you don't have to worry about any of that. Free food, free drinks, free parking, free admission, free everything. There is nothing you have to pay for until you want to sign on the dotted line, and you'll probably find something here, which is what I love about – one of the things I love about Madison RV. You'll find something here that's going to suit you if you just take a few minutes and look around.
It doesn't take long, and we've got a really well-trained staff that will help you through your qualification process. Really, what you're going to do with a camper? How many people are you going to be taking camping? What are your likes and dislikes? And then we can refine that search down to just a few campers that really would fit your individual needs. So our selection of 180 coaches, there's something on the ground we've got. And we also have the Southern RV Wholesale on Jordan Lane, 1707 Jordan Lane. It's a sister company. They have the exact same process in place. They've got the product that's all value priced. I mean, if you want a really, really great value, great deal, stop and visit our brothers and sisters over at Southern RV Wholesale.
Sitting here with Rod from Madison RV, been a longtime supporter of the Cole Kublik Show and of the Ump, and obviously very much appreciate that because we're family now. We're family. And
absolutely.
I feel like I know Dale's got the squatter's rights, but we don't figure out maybe a studio to build it. This may be the place we actually start building a studio for us.
Well, Madison PD will be here Monday morning.
Okay, so until Monday morning. You said that you told me during the break that there's some seminars happening today, too, that people can be a part of.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. We have four different seminars going on because there's so much. Buying the RV is one thing, and I always liken it to buying the prom dress. It doesn't get you the prom. You need shoes and pearls and hair and all the other nails. So you actually need to consider the accessories and hitch systems, fifth wheel hitch systems, weight distribution hitch systems, and sway control. Then we also have satellite dish systems, and, you know, there's a lot to it. So we've got people here that are absolute experts, many, many years in the field of being able to provide the finite details and understanding exactly what you need for your particular need.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that people sort of overlook is that you don't want to take an RV home and then get lost, you know, and get lost in some of the weeds with some of the things to make your RV experience so great. So come on out today. Be a part of that sports club going off until 11 a.m. Rod, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, man, and I can't wait to make an offer here on this.
On the Redwood? Yeah, I'll have to fight with Dale on that one.
The price has gone up because Dale didn't. We're going to take a time out. We'll come back for Sports Flood and Dale Jackson next.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Yeah! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
All right, by one! Get out! Another right by one! Another right! Uppercut by one! A right by one! A right by one! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Arky Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Welcome back in. It is the Sports Flood, hour number two here, live from Madison RV at the premier event in all of North Alabama, especially for RVs. It's the annual RV show and sale. It is over today at 5 o'clock, so come on and get out here and check out your RV. The greatest thing about this, not only are the RVs deliciously priced, but the food is delicious, and it's free! Hey, Cole Kubelik's still here. How much is the admission to get in?
Free!
How much is the food and drinks?
Free.
Okay, that wasn't nearly as excited as it was a moment ago. But yeah, it's all free to come on here and check out the latest and greatest in inventory. The discounts are way, way up, and the interest rates are down. So now is a perfect time to come on out to Madison RV, just basically right next to the airport. So come on out off 565 and check us out. We are here in the nice little red – I would say little. It's a big old redwood here that looks gorgeous. This is top of the line, Rod? This got to be top of the line. It looks gorgeous. This has been great. And one thing that's been great is Dale Jackson, who's been staying here this entire week.
Living here.
Smells like it too, man.
Oh, yeah.
You going to Fabrizio this
what,
place?
It has been amazing. No, I was told all I had to do was stay here and I could leave and they'd take care of the rest. So that's why it's just it's been lived in. It's got that lived in – look right now. But it's been great. I've been staying here every night. Full bedroom back there. Enough room for me and the wife. And, you know, it's been a good time.
Yeah, it's, you know, I keep saying this. I said this to Rod before that I'm never not amazed by what an RV can do nowadays and what you can get here for really, really affordable prices. Like prices that people, you can get into RVs for really cheap monthly.
No, $200 a month, you can get into some that low. But I mean, look, you walk in here, you've got a leather couch, you've got two leather recliners. Cole Kubelik's got his feet kicked up watching TV. Next to the fireplace. And let me tell you how stupid I am. This is unrelated to the RV situation, but let me tell you how dumb I am. I was in here. And I went on somewhere and I was like, oh man, I got to get back. I left the fireplace on. Because in my mind, I'm like, wait a minute. And then I get here and I'm like, I'm so stupid. This is an electric fireplace. It's not an actual fireplace. But that's how real it was and warm it is. And, you know, you guys came in here. I'm sure it was warm this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I've had a great time out here this week and I've really enjoyed it. Cindy really enjoyed it. And it's definitely something that you should think about. And if you've ever thought about purchasing an RV, now is the time. And, you know, there's convention shows and all these other places you can go to. But remember, when you go to that convention show, that dealer has a regular lot. Then they're paying to be at the convention. And as nice of a guy as these guys might be, they are running a business. So if you're going to that convention, you are paying for that person to be at that convention. You're paying for them, paying for the space, bringing all the stuff here. Forget about all that. come to Madison RV right here on Madison Boulevard near the airport. Come on in here and check out these RVs that are on the lot every single day. And plus, with space constraints that you see at the convention, you don't have that here. Rod has every type of floor model you could possibly want. They can show you anything you want to see. They can show you different price ranges. They can help you find the right RV for you. And that's the beauty of this place.
You know, the thing I like the most, what Rod said, is the thing I don't even think about that's so smart having these seminars, which is that when you – like if I came in and I was a first-time RV buyer, which I would be, I do not know all the little things that come with it, like setting up the satellite dish with it or setting up for one of my haulers to be maybe hauled behind my truck.
Right.
You know, I don't know all these little things that if I got home, I could be lost.
Yeah, you want to learn all the stuff, and that's the beauty here. They can also help you learn a lot about the RV as well.
And it's really great. So that's happening until 5 o'clock today, so come on out.
Big stars coming out here. Just throwing it out there. I mean, I know you and Cole are here. I'll be here 11 to 1, which, of course, I'm already here. And then you've got A.J. McLeod from Nash Icon coming out. You got Tony Terrell coming out from WHRP. And then Mojo will be here from 104.3 ZYP. He'll be here as well.
The Mojo?
The Mojo.
Wow. The Mojo Radio Show?
Of the Mojo Radio Show.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm just telling you. Mojo will
He's
be
He's got
here.
Basketball and baseball teams we could talk about.
Yeah, he does. Trust me. He can tell you all about that stuff. He's coaching them.
That's what I'm saying. Wasn't he coaching a team called the Lakers? We could get him on. Didn't they win a championship?
I think so. You guys dropped the ball.
You should have got here earlier so we could talk about the sports aspect.
Okay.
Dale, I know what your bread and butter. By the way, how much have you enjoyed being here this whole week?
It's been amazing.
Like, just be like,
you know what the best part is?
Stretch out.
No. You know what the best part is? Think about how early we get up in the morning to do a morning show.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I just roll out of that bed, walk down the stairs, sit here in my underwear and do my radio show. It's wonderful.
I got here this morning, and you did have a sign that said knock three times before entering.
Yes.
So I didn't. Well, luckily.
Sometimes people come up here to be on the show, and door's locked, sitting in here in my underwear. So I might just take my pants off now. Who knows?
I prefer it.
All right. Good.
Actually, if you wouldn't mind.
What is my bread and butter? What is this? What are we discussing here?
The bread and butter is politics.
No.
And I don't want to get too deep into it because it's a sports show. But I did.
Can we talk politics here for a second? And sports?
Well,
I hate to interrupt
you. Story in a minute, but yes.
Let's talk about Chris Long for a second.
Okay.
Chris Long apparently has gone on some long Twitter tirade because he's not going to the White House. And all this other stuff, and everyone's making a huge deal about it, and everyone's – I don't know if you've seen this because he's not going to go to the White House. There's a bunch of people who won't go to the White House. Why do we care? I mean, I hate to be this guy because I do talk radio, and I understand that we care about everything. But at the same time, this guy gets an opportunity to go to the White House. He's going to get special treatment while he's at the White House. He's going to get the opportunity to stand there with the president, stand there with his teammates, celebrate his victory. And there are people on that team because they don't like what the American people decided in November. They're going to pout about it. I don't get it. I just don't understand it. Why is that a big deal?
I said last week on the show that I think they should just go. I think this is more of a team celebration.
Yeah, that's right. Stop being a jerk. I mean, if the complaint is Donald Trump is a jerk, which he is, and I said so on Fox News. You might have seen me on there. But
Also Fox Business, too. Fox Business.
Oh, yeah, Fox Business, too.
By the way, why are you still here?
I don't know. Because they saw
me.
You
made a commitment to Rod, and then after
they saw me, and they're like, why is this guy on TV? And so the point I'm making is he's a jerk. If your argument is he's a jerk and he's terrible, and he says, don't be a jerk in the process. And there's no reason to be doing that. Nobody is looking to these guys for some brilliant political commentary. Just go to the freaking White House. And really, you could probably do better if you went to the White House and then went and talked to reporters about what your problem is with what's going on.
Sure, and I also said on the Sports Flood last week, which you can hear Sunday, Saturdays 9 to 11. I should replay on Sundays as well. I said that if you think – Cole's laughing for whatever reason.
Because nobody would listen to if you replayed it.
I said that no one's listening live.
Oh, okay, good.
I said that Donald Trump only cares about Belichick and Brady being there anyway.
That's true.
Like he cares about Chris Long and really five or six – I think it's six other people.
My guess is he has no idea who Chris Long is.
Probably doesn't. Nor should he really at this point if he's running a country electively.
Yeah.
We had some thoughts on this Louisiana coach getting fired, as I was discussing the story earlier on the show. The Louisiana coach who said Nick Saban and Alabama coaches were banned from campus.
I had no idea this was 4 years ago this originally happened. Yeah, so why did it just bubble up again?
Well, he was on a show 2 years ago and sort of talked about this, and then was asked this last week about his stance and if he was still banning Alabama from campus. And they went into the story again about how Brandon Harris was recruited and how he did not like the way that they did not offer him scholarship at first. And then they finally were forced to because he made a big stink about it, because Brandon Harris was one of the top quarterbacks coming out at the time. And then once he got to campus to visit Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban said, okay, we may not have a guaranteed scholarship for you here. And so he did not like it. He said, fine, I don't like the ethics of the coaching staff, and I'm going to now ban them from my campus.
So they fired him for a decision he made 4 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
It makes no sense.
And by the way, what negative publicity is he getting in Louisiana for banning Alabama from the campus? I mean, to me, none of this makes any sense. My guess is this is a completely different issue that someone is using to get this guy out. This doesn't sound like something that would
get you. Very successful coach. It's the school's all time leading winner,
which would make it hard to get rid of him if you didn't like him.
Yeah, makes it. It just doesn't help the argument.
Yeah, no, it sounds to me like someone didn't like him and they utilized this as an opportunity.
The principal said basically it was insubordination. And he said that you should have told me that you banned.
Who said that? The coach is saying that? Or did the principal actually say this to a member of the press?
The principal apparently was making it clear that it's insubordination.
Yeah, well, he might have. And I'm not saying this.
You're trying to find a way to fire someone.
No, right. That's exactly right. But what it could have also been is they could have said, hey, knock this crap out. Okay, we realize what you're doing. Knock this crap out. And he's like, no, I'm not going to knock this crap out. Well, then you're going to get fired.
Unban Bama.
No, essentially. Okay, fine. Which would have zero impact. He already got his little bit of publicity, if that happened. I don't know. Maybe they came in and said, you've embarrassed us. You're fired. And that's the end of it. So,
I also didn't like the fact that the principal came out and was mad about this now when it's...
How long has the principal been there?
Oh, 2 years?
Yeah, maybe he didn't know. He didn't know.
The principal got there.
Yeah, no idea. But still, it's a stupid thing. Is he a Bama fan? Is it Harvey Updike?
Dig into Mr. Bates.
Is Harvey Updike the coach of that team? I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. I don't understand it. It's stupid to ban Bama from your campus for behaving like other schools behave, right? Bama's not the only school that over-recruits,
is it?
Sure. They're probably the most effective doing it because they can. But I would argue that there's probably other schools doing the same thing. This guy sounds like he's butthurt because of one quarterback.
I think Coach Feaster has probably had a few guys on his campus offer something they couldn't have kept the entire time. That's too bad.
Isn't that just recruiting, though?
Okay. Only got a couple minutes left. I don't know how to ask you this question because what every day is Donald Trump.
Okay.
But if you could sum up this week in Donald Trump in one sentence, what would it be?
Utter destruction. That's it. He is destroyed. The media is in a complete meltdown right now. Social media, they're all out there talking about how they're not the enemy. How they have the First Amendment protections. And what they don't understand is that cuts both ways. The First Amendment isn't just about the press. It's about us. And Donald Trump, believe it or not, has the First Amendment right to say, you guys suck at what your job is. And there was a poll released this morning that said when the public, something along the lines of who do you trust to tell the truth, the president or the press? The president actually polls better in that regard. He actually polls better. And it's their fault. It's absolutely their fault. I had an interaction this morning with a reporter from the Montgomery Advertiser. And he was doing this whole thing of, oh, we're not the enemy. We spend time away from our families. And it's like, you know, what? Oh, journalists have been killed in the line of duty. How dare anyone, blah, blah, blah. And this is sort of the message they're making. And instead of acknowledging why people might have a problem with him, and I said, you guys don't get why you have a problem? He responds, well, you can advertise – or excuse me, what did he say? He said, you can get a subscription to the Montgomery Advertiser here. That was his response. And I said, you see why people hate you, right? I said, this is why people hate you. People bring to you their concerns with what you guys are doing, and your response is to, A, how dare you criticize us? The Constitution protects us. And B, subscribe to our newspaper. And it's just it's an insane thing. He has, and they can go on and on and on about how mean he is and how inappropriate he is. They tried that during the campaign. It didn't work. Do they think more of that is going to finally tip the scale? Nobody cares. And I've made this point numerous times. And I think I've told you this before. I don't know a single Trump supporter that has watched this first month take place and gone, oh, man, I wish he behaved differently. I mean, even the most begrudging Trump supporter you're ever going to find, the guy who was just like me, who came on y'all's show during the week and said, no way he's going to win. No way he's going to win. Holy crap, he won. Well, he won't win here. He won't win here. Holy crap, he won. But I'll vote for the guy. Whatever. Even me, I look at what he's doing. I'm fine with it. I've got absolutely no problem with it. I wish he'd have walked out in the crowd and smacked some of those guys. I would have been completely okay with it. He could go on Fifth Avenue and shoot a reporter and nobody would care.
Day 29, everybody.
I think we're past that. I think
day 20. Like you get in the 27th of the 20th. Day 29. We're almost at a month. Good. I'm pretty excited.
He hasn't been impeached yet.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Does he make it full term?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, listen. If this continues, he'll get three terms. Okay, I'm just telling you. If this is how they're going to cover him, uh-huh. Of where, oh my God, can you believe the outrage he did today? And then he turns to him and says, "You're dumb. You're fake news." He will win three terms.
Dale Jackson at the Dale Jackson on Twitter. Send all your hate there. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. John Solomon has an interesting piece about how head coaches should finally start getting kicked out of games. I like where this is going. I like where it's going. We'll talk about that next on the show. Welcome back to the Sports Flood. Happy to have you guys aboard the ship. We are going to set sail for another great story. Let me take out a couple of tweets that are coming in to the program before we get to that. Chris Crow going crazy right now. Chris Crow loves the station, loves the Cube Show, tweeting in GIFs of Donald Trump doing executive orders of listening to the Cube Show. You can hear that Monday, 6 to 10 on the ump, so don't be shy. I Like Pie tweets, who has processed more of his opposition, Nick Saban or at Real Donald Trump? I think that's Nick Saban so far. And he also tweets, how much you paying at Cole Kublik to do at the Sports Flood this morning? At first, I thought it was a weekday, and I was late for work. Not quite. Cole Kublik is too expensive for what I can actually pay him. So he's SEC Network, man. Those guys don't come cheap. Don't come cheap at all. Hey, so we got John Solomon out here writing stuff that's crazy, which I appreciate. He tweets and writes an article with the headline, "It's time for refs to start ejecting college football coaches for wild behavior." Yes, we are on. That is exactly what I need to hear. I need to hear getting rid of the crazy coaches finally, because I can't stand some of the things I see. Now, here's what the crux of his issue is. This was the first year, this last year was the first year that coaches could theoretically be kicked out of a game for having multiple two unsportsmanlike conduct called against him. Dabo Swinney has had it called against him. Also having it called against him is Jim Harbaugh. There have been coaches that have been flagged for it. You guys may remember Will Muschamp 2 years ago, or yes, 2 years ago now. While he was defensive coordinator at Auburn. Coaches can be flagged for it, but now, this last year, they can be ejected for it. That, according to the NCAA, one coordinator who wanted to remain anonymous, officiating coordinator, said, quote, "Nobody, though, wants to be the first to do it. It will be huge news. I've told our guys, if a coach makes you do that, then you've just got to do it," end quote. That actually doesn't sound at all like the way he started his quote. But we got to figure out what gets a coach kicked out of a game. Another coordinator said, "Pretty bad behavior. We're trying to correct this," he said. "It's like making an omelet. We're going to break a few eggs to change the culture, and we may make a few mistakes." That's exactly what you want coordinators of officials to say. "We may screw up a few times, but you know what? We're still going to be bad at it." That's what I appreciate. American Athletic Conference officiating coordinator Terry McCauley said, "We need to get the genie back in the bottle. It's not fair to the vast majority of the coaches who are phenomenal and coach within the rules. eventually they're not going to coach within the rules. If their counterparts get away with it, then we'll have utter chaos, end quote. Now, that is a good point. It's about time we really start getting rid of coaches off the field. It's about time. How much further and how many more days and how many more outbursts and how many more games do I have to see Will Muschamp and Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh and Dabo Swinney? Yes, that Dabo Swinney. How many more times do I have to watch them just lose their minds on the sideline? Brett Bielema has been flagged for this. Why can't I keep my coaches on the sideline? And I've seen it 1,000 times, and I have multiple concerns with coaching and officiating, especially with how you can get things to go faster in football. But this is one of those things where if you want to speed up the game just a skosh and you want to try to just control the game, the head coaches who are making more than everybody need to be held to some kind of standard. And the only standard that they're being held to right now is wins and losses, which is good for the university. But what about the game itself? What about the game itself? Why is Nick Saban allowed to come 10, 12 yards onto the field at times? Why is that okay? Listen, I get the whole run-of-the-mill screaming at the officials in there saying that's a bad call, that's a really bad call, that is an awful, awful call. Shout out to Chris Stewart. I understand all of those. I don't understand coming out on the field, throwing your hat, throwing a temper tantrum, inevitably delaying the game, or even if you're doing it during reviews. I don't like it. I don't like that being in my football. Football is a game where I try to focus as much as possible on what's happening in between the lines. And I don't know why the coach needs to come between them. I don't. The coach gets so much say, so much power, that we have to almost tell them, please get off the side. Please move to the back a little. I'd like to warn you on your sideline a little bit to please move back. Jim Harbaugh last year in the Ohio State-Michigan game threw his play sheet nearly halfway onto the field. Now, rightfully so, he got flagged, but shouldn't that be an automatic ejection? You can't just throw stuff in the middle of the field. Guys get ejected from throwing stuff onto the field if they're in the stands, right? So why are you allowed to just throw stuff on the field if you're a coach? Why are you allowed to just throw a temper tantrum over a call? A call. One call. It may be an important one, but why? Why? Why do we allow these grown men, allegedly, to throw such tantrums onto the field? I know Nick Saban makes a lot of money, and so does Harbaugh, and so does everybody, by the way, at that level. Why? Please tell me why this is okay. I like this idea. I like the idea because I liked it when they said two flags get you kicked out to start off with. But how many times are you going to get a coach to get a flag thrown on him and then a second one? It takes a lot to get a flag thrown on a coach. A single one. To much less get a second one thrown on the same coach to get him kicked out of the game? It's never going to happen that way. If you really want to try to get the genie back in the bottle, as Terry McAuley says, you got to kick guys out at the very beginning. You got to kick them out if they throw stuff in the middle of the field, like Jim Harbaugh did. You can't just give everybody third, fourth, and fifth chances. Now, a warning? Fine. I guess. Warn the coaches. Hey, Coach Harbaugh, don't throw something in the middle of the field. Hey, Nick Saban, stay off the field. Stop getting 12, 15 yards onto the field to try to talk to me and get my attention. Stop. When they call timeout, they just run down the field and go for the nearest official anyway, don't they? They still stay on the sideline for the most part. If you can't get to an official on the white broad stripe as it is, then how about shut up and move on? And this gets to the bigger point for me. Why do they have to complain, and why do they complain all the time? They are always on the field complaining. One official said Arkansas head coach Brett Bielema is, quote, always on the field complaining. Always on the field complaining. Dana Holgorsen said is quoted as saying he is, quote, constantly out of control. It feels like every week with him. Dan Mullen's gotten flagged for throwing his headset onto the field while arguing with officials. Jim Mora has been penalized for the same thing. I don't want to go the moral route with you guys. I want to go the practical. The moral route is these guys are educators of life. They're role models. But the practical route is you're holding up the game, coach. And you screaming about a bad call over and over again, and you constantly screaming throughout a game just so you can get a call your way the other way, it feels like old archaic thinking, does it not? It feels like the way old people think about football, the way the old guard did. Isn't all about innovation and newness and new thoughts? Why do we think now, in 2017, that it's okay to scream at officials constantly because we may get that next call? So stupid. That's so stupid. Steve Shaw said, you don't want to let something like this happen in the SEC that then happens in another league and is also penalized. I think two unsportsmanlike conducts are a very solid way to do it, but I think there are times we need to be more consistent administering when it is an unsportsmanlike foul. It's not a rule book problem. The rule book is very clear. Yes, that's right. Coaches who enter the field of play to question, protest, or demonstrate disagreement, according to Rogers Redding's latest memo, is subject to an immediate 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct, end quote. So how about this? Just throw the flag. Throw the flag to start off with. We're trying to get rid of targeting, right? Just throw the flag. Think about it later. Do you want to review? Hey, let's review the coaches getting into the middle of the field. Actually, that's pretty easy to see. Just throw the flag. Throw it. Cole Kubelik may say, don't throw it. I say, throw it. You're tweeting at the show at the Sports Flood at Arky Shea. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, a former Alabama running back is in trouble, and that is not good news for him, obviously, or anybody else. We are at the Madison RV Supercenter, where they're having their annual RV show and sale. Today is your last day. Interest rates are way down, and discounts, here's a good thing, way up. And now is the perfect time to choose your brand new RV with the largest selection of the latest models in the area, and there is no need, not a single thought needs to go to going anywhere else but Madison RV Supercenter today. Free parking, free admission, free food. Madison RV is the only place to get your new RV at the annual RV show and sale. Right now, it's the right time to buy. Don't miss it. It is over today at 5 o'clock. The show is over in 30 minutes, but they'll go until 5 o'clock to try to make a deal with you at the best event of the season, and it's happening right here just off of the airport. Going to take a quick timeout. We come back. More Sports Flood next. Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the Sports Flood. So glad to have you guys on the program today. It's been a great show so far. Had the great Dale Jackson on a few moments ago. He seems to think Trump is using the word of this week, utter destruction. Take that for as you will. He seems to be taking it into a positive. Cole Kubelik was on earlier talking about the brand new official hiring of Brian Daboll as the new offensive coordinator. Official for the Alabama Crimson Tide and what that means going forward. Had a chance to talk about Louisiana getting a little weird after they fired the head coach of a high school team that recently confirmed that 4 years ago he did ban Alabama from coming on his campus, and now he's getting fired. So make of that what you actually want to make of it. Just seems a lot. At Madison RV today, don't worry. They'll be doing all these deals up until 5 o'clock today, even though the show is about 20 minutes from being over. Today's the last day. Get on out here and check on out the inventory. Just passed a couple people who just walked in. I got a couple high fives. They are excited because it's a little rainy. It's a little cool outside today. But you know what? It's not snowing like it's done the last couple of years during this event. So that's a pretty good win there. So please come on out and check them out. You won't be sorry. We can find an RV a travel trailer, a fifth wheel. We can find something for you here at Madison RV, where parking, admission, food, drinks is all free. Speaking of freedom, or the lack thereof, former Alabama running back Trent Richardson was arrested in Hoover on Thursday evening. There were reports to a 911 call reporting a possible domestic disturbance at the Hyatt Place Hotel on John Hawkins Parkway. You guys all know John Hawkins Parkway. That call came at 8:04, and then a second call came at 8:05 reporting yelling coming from one of the guest rooms, said the Hoover police captain. Responding officers arrived at 8:08, that's pretty quick, and were escorted to the source of the disturbance by a hotel employee, where officers were able to make contact with an adult male, Trent Richardson, and an adult female who were involved in a domestic altercation. Both were interviewed. Officers determined the two had been arguing earlier while at the Walmart. The dispute, that's not real, is it? That's not real. That's real. Okay, that's real. The dispute then apparently continued after they arrived back at the hotel. At some point, it turned physical, and the female sustained injuries, scratches, and bruising to her face. Paramedics were dispatched. They checked out her injuries. She was treated on the scene and needed no further medical attention. Man, this is bad. Trent Richards is only 26, guys. He is only 26. And he hasn't had what you would call a long legal history, but he has had a bit of a fall from grace over the last 3 years. He's just 26. And now he's charged with third-degree domestic violence. And as of Friday afternoon, he was in Hoover City Jail with bond set at $1,000 before being released right before 3 o'clock. Man, that's messed up, man. That's messed up. Trent Richardson was such a great running back, with such a ferocious, thundering runner. And it looked like he could have had himself a decent NFL career. He stopped learning how to run the ball. He stopped going through the holes his offensive line made for him. And as many as attempts he's made to get slimmer, to get faster, and lots of people putting out photos of him. Hey, look how good he looks. He looks great now. He's going to get another chance for a team. That's what he wants. Not caught on anywhere. Not caught on at a single place. And to see guys come down to the, which I don't want to say I'm all high and mighty, this is one of the lower things you can do, just get not the right kind of physical with a woman. It's unfortunate. It really is. Court date for Richardson has not been set yet, by the way. He left through the jail exit, avoiding the media there, where he walked back to a truck that he got in and left. Funny though, the truck had a vanity plate called, as it said, fresh out. So that's good, because he was fresh out the clink after that. Spent 4 years in the league with Cleveland and Indianapolis, and was released August when he had a knee injury. Too bad. That's too bad. But you know what he should do? Maybe not make contact with a woman's face. How about that? And maybe I don't have to sit here and be sad for you. I think I get saddest in these situations when I see someone that seems like that they have potential, and from things I had read when he was in college, seemed like he had a good head on his shoulders, seemed like he had the whole world going for him. And then just to see things not work out, it's disappointing. But if you're going to get physical with a woman and scratch and bruise her face, I think we can move on to the next portion of our day, right? Next portion of your day should include coming to try to get an RV today. We're just off 565. We're close to the airport, so it's hard to miss us. We're a giant super center of RVs, man. It's not going to be easy to miss us. So come on out. Check us out. 9311 Madison Boulevard. Coming out, hang out, have a good time. get you some free munchies, get you some free drinkies, walk around, just check out the showroom. Just nothing else. Maybe you're not into an RV right this moment. You're not going to get a better deal than what you're going to get today, but let's just say you're not. Why not come out and just look around? Look around, get an idea for what you may like. You may not have been in an RV in the last 5, 10 years, or maybe ever. Come on out, just take a gander around. Walk in, no pressure. Just see what you may like at some point. I guarantee you, you'll be wowed by a lot of these, and actually all of these. You'll be wowed by what they can put into all of these RVs. Madison RV today. Going to take a quick timeout. We got one last segment. Oh, no. One last segment. We're going to spend it on gymnastics. That's not true. That's not true. I made a joke. I made a joke, guys. That's not true. We're going to come back. We may talk a little. Do you guys know that the world is not flat? Kyrie Irving doesn't. Next, Sports Flood. Sports Blood, one last segment to talk to you fine, beautiful people about what is really going on in sports. And what's really going on is that it's the All-Star Weekend. And today is all of your festivities that you want to see, like the dunk contest, the three-point contest, the skills challenge, blah, blah, blah. But we can't get to that before we get past Kyrie Irving, who was on a recent episode of a podcast by Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson, which, by the way, did not know existed. It's called Road Tripping with RJ and Channing. And by the way, they're players, they're current players, okay? They're the current teammates. Kyrie was a guest on the latest edition. Channing Frye brought up the question of whether aliens exist. Good point here. I like where this goes. Irving took the opportunity to then ask, do you think the Earth is round? Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson both said, yeah. But Irving was unequivocal when he said, this is not even a conspiracy theory. He said, quote, the Earth is flat. Good. Good. You know what? I'm not even mad. I'm not even mad that Kyrie Irving thinks the world is flat. Because, as Bill Jackson was telling me during the break, if the world was not flat, we'd all fall off. Right? Not Bill Jackson walking over, right?
This guy's a college-educated guy, right?
1 year at Duke, yes.
He went to Duke. So at Duke, they are apparently teaching you that the world is flat. Is he serious with this?
Yeah. He was even asked follow-up by reporters yesterday, and he said, yeah, it is.
That's awesome.
This isn't college educated. This is like middle school
stuff. No, but he went to Duke. By the way, Duke, it should be banned from postseason play. Because their kids are clearly not going to class. I mean, that's the moral of the story here.
Are you taking back your thought that the Earth is not flat?
Well, the Earth is clearly flat.
Oh, well, then why are you banking?
Because we're supposed to lie and pretend that it's not. We're part of the media conspiracy. I'm in on it.
Fake news, man. That's what we're doing.
Fake news. I'll tell you, if the Earth was round and spinning like they said, we'd all fall off.
It's a good point because the momentum, we should be hanging on to things right.
Right,
now,
yeah. Man. Just think about it.
I then started researching this last night when I got home from my.
Before you continue, did you read what he said besides that? He's like, well, then how is it that we rotate around the sun in perfect time and all of a sudden? It's like, that's how time was designed, you idiot.
I looked into more research, and there's actually a significant enough community to worry me that believes the Earth is flat. Enough of a community. In fact, I saw one picture of a woman in a Facebook group who was mad because her daughter, who was 2 at the time, got a plastic globe, and she said they're indoctrinating our kids to this Earth. I'm not worried about Kyrie because he's got money and he's going to be able to pay people to pay for his flights and find him places to.
Here's a real question. Okay, can I give you a real question here? How long until he's going to have to come out and publicly, not apologize, but acknowledge he was wrong? Like, how often is he going to get asked this before, whether or not he's telling? It's just like when they fake apologize for saying something stupid. How long is it going to take him to come out and apologize and not apologize, but make good on this comment?
I don't think he ever has to.
He will. He absolutely will.
Because this is not one of those immigrants.
They're going to mock him every day. He's going to get asked that question every single day.
Oh, he should get mocked, sure.
Sure.
But like, how long before we're bored with the whole Earth is round question? Right? I mean,
you have a very famous person going on national television every single day being asked if the Earth is round, and yeah, absolutely, we'll never get tiring.
Dale Jack, appreciate that. Thanks for Cole Kubel. Today, Alabama takes on LSU. 1:30 is when the coverage starts. You can check that out right here on The Hump. Also tomorrow, don't forget, 11:15 in the morning, we got NHL, Washington Capitals, they're good, and New York Rangers, right here on The Up.